It's Christmas. Christmas time is a time where I hope you get to push the pause button for a little bit. Where, like, Christmas, hopefully most of the places that you work on Christmas, you don't have to go to work. Like, we lost Sundays a long time ago. We used to have Sundays, all businesses would shut down. But Christmas time is at least a time where we can pause and ponder. Where we can, as Tozer says, what faith is, turning the gaze of your soul onto a holy God. That we can take time with our families to pause, whether it be for 30 minutes, 3 hours, 6 hours, to pause and ponder the fact that the King is among us. The miracle of Christianity, Emmanuel, God with us. We just sang this song. Emmanuel, God with us. We pick up the Christmas story in Matthew. We're going to read from Matthew's account here. And leading up to this point, there were between 400 and 500 years of silence in our Bibles. From the time that the last words were spoken by God through the prophets to the time of Jesus Christ. We have between 400 and 500 years of silence. Of people pausing. They had to ponder and prepare their hearts for the coming of a Savior. You see, the Jewish nation had been promised a Savior for generations. And then, so they have people reminding them of the fact that a Savior is coming, a Savior is coming. God is your King. He is with you. He is for you. He's on your side. And then the prophets, they go silent. And God stops speaking to the nation of Israel, to his chosen people, for over 400 years. I have trouble when God doesn't talk for like 400 seconds. They have 400 years. Let's think about this. This is longer than our nation has been around. 400 years. Once a number gets that big, we can't really comprehend it. 400 years ago is the year 1614. Pilgrims are showing up. Jamestown is being established around this town, around this time. 400 years that people are promised. Longer than that, they're promised that God is coming. They're promised that their King is coming and he's going to save them. And then there's 400 years of nothing. I wonder how many of them in this 400 years, if the story of who God was and the story of what he had done generations ago, if it came to be a lot like a fairy tale to them, if it came to be just stories that they told their children, stories that you told to kids to kind of help them get through the day, stories that kind of gave them a national identity, or if it was like Cinderella to them, or like Little Mermaid, stuff that you just tell your kids. Like I wonder how many of us get involved in church. We bring our kids to church because we want them to be raised with godly principles. And we pray with them because we want them to be raised in a godly way. But are we actually introducing them and helping them encounter a holy and loving God? Or has it just become stories? Has it just become something that we've been doing it for so long, it's been passed on to us? Our dad did it. Their dad did it. His dad did it. His dad did it. We come from a long line of Christians and people who believe, so we talk about Jesus. We tell our kids about him and we say, yeah, we're Christian and we have the right bumper sticker. But is it actually a reality? Like, do we pause to ponder the ramifications of a God becoming man and coming to earth? Or is it just something that we say over and over, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, and it falls flat? I wonder if they found themselves in this space in this 400 years. Jewish tradition tells us that they created stories. They created songs about what the Savior would look like. Where he would be born. What he would talk like. The place that he would come from. They had all these expectations. To many, he was going to be a political Savior that would that would deliver them from Roman oppression at this point. This is about 100 years after the Maccabean revolts, and they tried to overthrow the government and they couldn't. So they created these songs, and it would be like, you know, your top 40 hits that we listen to. And in this space, God hadn't been speaking to them for hundreds of years. So they're kind of left to fill in the gaps. And then God does just something crazy. He like totally defies their expectations, goes completely around what they thought he was going to do, who he was going to be. And he starts talking to a teenage girl in a forgotten part of the world. I like the way God does stuff. Sometimes God comes as like an earthquake and lightning strikes and a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. And then sometimes he just comes as like a still, small voice. And this is a part where God started whispering to the earth. It was loud, 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 loud. 400 years of silence. Like God's phone was on airplane mode. He wasn't talking to anybody. 400 years. At least to the prophets. And then God just starts whispering to a young woman in a forgotten part of the world. Hey. Hey, Mary. And he tells her this amazing story that the Savior that she had been promised, the Savior that she'd heard the stories from her parents, she'd heard the stories from her grandparents, and all of a sudden, God starts talking and goes, hey, Mary, guess what? You know all those stories that they told you when you were growing up? I got a pretty cool message for you. It's going to come from you. A young woman, forgotten part of the world. I mean, can anything good come from Nazareth? The disciples ask this later on in Jesus' ministry. Can anything good come from Nazareth? They expected him to come from a political stronghold, from the center of the known world, or from an academic. These are the pictures that they painted. Yet God starts whispering to a young woman. He starts speaking to her fiancé in a dream. This is where we're going to pick up the story. See, another one of the accounts, the shepherds are out just tending the sheep. Jesus is born and like the sky lights up. I'm sure you're familiar with this story. And the angels show up out of nowhere. They're just like smooth chilling down on the Palouse on a hill somewhere, making sure little Jeffy's got food, taking care of their flocks. And then out of nowhere, the sky rips apart. The song we just sang, in our darkness, glory pierced the sky. Glory pierced the night. It was a silent, dark period. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, angels show up and they start singing. They have a message. Goodwill, a message of goodwill and peace. And these shepherds are like, wow, what? See, sometimes God shows up that way. And sometimes he shows up in a whisper. I wonder how many of you are waiting for a shout and God's been whispering. Like if God is whispering, would you know? What if God came in a way that you weren't ready for? What if God came in a very unexpected way? You'd created expectations. You'd set a standard for him. God, if you show up this way, then da 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 da. And God's trying to get your attention somewhere else. I wonder if you'd know it. Because he defied the odds. And he starts speaking. He comes to a dream. So we're picking this up. Matthew chapter 1, verse 15. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. God was her baby daddy, translation. Her husband Joseph being a just man, being righteous. Being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So Joseph goes, well, the young woman that I'm going to marry is pregnant. It's not my baby. So obviously she's been with somebody else. And rather than embarrass her in front of the whole city, rather than embarrass her in the community for being promiscuous, which was so frowned upon in that culture, he goes, I'll just divorce her quietly. That other guy who she was with can marry her and nobody will be any the wiser. He was a very upright and righteous man. He wanted to take care of her. The Bible says this, as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Church, as I was reading through this passage of Scripture, this particular Scripture came alive. I could not get away from it. Maybe you've heard people say that they were meditating on a particular Scripture. It's a very Christian thing that we say. It just means that they were pondering it. They were mulling it over. I was pondering this over and over and over. I couldn't get this verse out of my head. And this is the way the angel chooses to talk to Joseph. Joseph, who is in a very interesting set of circumstances, he finds himself in a place kind of between a rock and a hard place. He's committed to marrying this woman. They're betrothed. Joseph would have been fully aware of this, of the fact that a Savior was coming as well. He's thinking about, how do I get out of this? How can I do this in an upright way? How can I honor her and honor the Lord all at the same time in all of this? And he's thinking about this, and an angel shows up and goes, Joseph, son of David. Do you know what Joseph's dad's name was? Not David. This is important because the angel starts speaking to Joseph's heritage. He starts speaking to who Joseph actually is. Not just the physical nature of where he finds himself, but the angel starts calling to a very deep place in his spirit. The angel addresses him. He says, Joseph, son of David. That'll get your attention. My dad's name is Eric. I'm a pastor. I should probably know off the top of my head what Joseph's father's name was, but I don't. I apologize. Probably not Eric, but but he goes, Joseph, son of David, which would have put Joseph in a space where he goes, whoa. The words that are about to follow this are not normal. People don't address me as Joseph, son of David. He's calling to the birthright of who Joseph was. See, it had been promised that the Savior would come from the line of David. Joseph would have known this. Joseph, son of David, and he says this, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. I want to call to the deep place in your spirit this morning. The world doesn't call you son of the king or daughter of the king. They call you Pat. They call you Jim, Carrie, Mondo, Tracy. This is how they address you. But the Spirit of God, to draw something out of the depths, some seeds of faith that it had planted in Joseph's heart when he was just a child. God begins to speak to those things and call to those things. And he refuses to call him by his physical name and by his physical circumstances and physical surroundings. Joseph being a guy being born in a forgotten part of the world who grew up working with his hands and now makes chairs and tables. He starts speaking to that guy. And says, Joseph, son of David, your life isn't going to be defined by tables and chairs and by where you were born. Your life isn't going to be defined by the ordinary person who you are. The ordinary way that you see yourself. I'm giving you a choice, son. And I'm calling to you. Don't be afraid. So he had to speak to those seeds of faith that were in him. I could probably venture a guess and say Joseph's parents didn't grow up telling him, you're going to be the Savior's father. They probably didn't grow up preparing him for life, raising God. Some of the things that God has prepared and set up for you, there's no way anybody in their earthly mind could have prepared you for it or set you up for it, because they can't even begin to imagine the things that God can possibly do through you. And so God has to call to the deep places, and he calls to the deepest part of your spirit. And some of you in this room, there's been a growing unsettling in your spirit, a growing discontent in your heart. Because the Spirit of God is calling to the deep places. He's not addressing you like any other person addresses you. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul says this. He goes, I know you are called. Speaking to the Thessalonian church, he says, I know you are called because when we spoke to you, it wasn't the words of men. The Spirit of God went with it. And you changed and you became what we called you to be. Paul said, that's how I know you're called. Because when I was talking to you, something else was coming out. The Spirit of God was calling to a deep place in your heart, church at Thessalonica. And then not only was that happening, but you changed and you aligned yourself to what God said you were and you could be. I wonder how many of you yourself find yourself this morning in an ordinary space, an ordinary place, with an ordinary job, with ordinary tasks, with an ordinary past, and you think in your mind an ordinary future. But if I can be so bold to say this, that God sends messengers to call to the deep place of your spirit, and if I could be so bold to say, I am that messenger to you this morning. Because this is what happens. In verse 21, he says this, she will bear a son. This young woman who you've promised your whole life to, she's going to bear a son. Awesome, I get to be a dad. I get to teach my kid how to throw spirals. I teach him how to ride a bike. And he goes, oh wait, you're going to call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And then I have to imagine Joseph has a moment where he goes, like visual voicemail, like wind it back and listen to that again. What? I'm going to have a son. I'm on board with it. And then he goes, you shall call his name Jesus. Now hear this. In Jewish tradition, to give him a name is to say that he is your own. Joseph, knowing full well, this baby isn't mine. But the angel goes, I want you to make him yours. Giving him a name was tantamount to adopting him. Joseph saying, I'm going to name you, is him adopting him as son and taking on that mission. I've always wondered why I have a huge issue with naming things. Names of things are so important to me. Like before we launch programs and stuff like that here at the church, I spend an inordinate amount of time naming it. And I've always wondered, and now I'm adopting that thing. And he goes, Joseph, I want you to adopt this little boy and call him Jesus, which is Yeshua, which means basically he's going to save them. And Joseph has a moment right here where he can, there's two ways this road goes. Because remember, he's already pondering, how do I divorce her quietly? How do I get out of this situation? And the Spirit of God shows up and goes, Joseph, please, don't be afraid. Don't you fear that thing that I've put in you. Don't you fear the fact that it's above your head. Some of you, you know in your heart that what you look at when you see around you is not what you were called to. You know that. There's a growing discontent in your heart, but the possibility of what could be may frighten you. Well, and all the questions start flying together. God, if you grow my business to this place, can I handle it? God, if you give me these children, can I do that? God, if you place this relationship in my life, am I capable of handling that? Because it's so much bigger than everything your life up to this point has told you. There's no Oxford degree hanging on your wall. Someone with a Harvard MBA, it makes sense that God would give them a business. Somebody who comes from a long line of healthy families and strong families, it makes sense that God would give them a family. But maybe you don't come from that. Maybe you come from a very broken family. So the thought of children might just terrify you. What if I do the same thing to them that was done to me? But God, he calls to the deep place in you and he speaks to that discontent. I think that as Christians and people who serve the living God, there should be a bit of discontent in our heart with the way that we see the things around us, because this world is broken and this world is fallen. And I pray that the Holy Spirit is speaking to your hearts this morning. Not calling you just by your name, but saying, son of the king. He says, Joseph, son of David. Reminding him of where he came, snapping him out of this funk of just going through the motions and all these promises that seemingly haven't been fulfilled yet. It's been hundreds of years of silence. Nobody at this time is expecting the Savior to show up, and he has to rattle him out of the funk and go, Joseph, son of David, don't you fear what I've put in here because it's conceived by the Holy Spirit. Don't you fear what's on the inside of you, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Son of the king, daughter of the king, what makes you think you can't do it? The guy who breathed the stars knows your name. He's the star breather. He just went. You realize that our Bible, it says, let there be light, and he just said, light be. The guy who did that knows your name. The guy who holds the universe in tension, and who keeps everything together. I get all the physics behind it. But I believe God set those things in motion. That guy knows you. In fact, if you believe the Bible, he has you on speed dial. You're like in his favorites. What makes you think that you can't do it? What makes you think that that thing is too big for you? See, we celebrate the fact that God became a person. He came to us. He is Emmanuel. God with us. The king is among us, church. The king is among us. The king is among us. You now are the temple. You are the vessel of the Holy Spirit. The king is in you. This is what we celebrate in this time. Yeah, we give presents. Yeah, we put trees up. Yeah, we sing songs. But please do not forget that what we are celebrating is Emmanuel, God with us, who came to a forgotten place and spoke to a teenage girl and went completely outside of the box. He came in different gift wrap than everybody thought he would. And that same God is calling to you this morning, deep calling unto deep. That discontent in your heart, I believe, is a good thing. Because it is calling you to action. The king is among us, church. The king is among us. His glory surrounds us. His glory pierced the night, pierced the darkness, pierced the silence. And I would venture to say this, that God, I believe this morning, could pierce some darkness and pierce some silence. That nagging that you've been feeling is the Holy Spirit drawing you toward him. Maybe you can't put words to it. You don't really know. You just know that just something. This is deep, calling unto deep. This is the Holy Spirit drawing you to Himself. This is God, a perfectly holy God, drawing you into His presence and asking you to spend a date day with Him. Asking you to sit and chat with Him, sit and commune with Him. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Verse 24, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not. Read between the lines. Until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. You see, Joseph had a choice in that moment. Joseph could hear, wow, this is a nice story. Oh my gosh, this is super overwhelming. I'm going to dip out and just execute all the plans that I've been thinking of. Find a way to quietly divorce her. Or I can take this head on. And though it seems large, and it seems like I'm just an ordinary guy, and why would God pick me, and why would He build me for this? I'm just going to do it. And the Bible says this, that when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. The Holy Spirit's calling to you this morning, calling to the deep places. Will you respond? Will we stand this morning?